deficient iman, but they have iman. And the third and highest level, the level of ihsan, perfection of worship, the level of those who worship Allah as if they were seeing Him. Shaykh Fawzan made clear in his explanation, as for what is essential, the level of Islam that is essential, then it's essential that a person gathers between both Islam and Iman, between the outward submission to Islam and the inward submission of the heart as well. Both are essential. And indeed the Islam of the hypocrites, who don't believe in their heart, but outwardly they submit, that Islam, even though it may benefit them in this world, it will not benefit them in the hereafter. Rather, the only Islam that will benefit in the hereafter is Islam accompanied by Iman, true faith of the heart. As for us, then we don't know what is in the heart, so we judge people in accordance with what is apparent, what they show about Islam, and applying Islam upon their limbs, then we judge them in accordance with that. With regard to funerals, putting funeral prayer over them, with regard to inheritance, with regard to the slaughtered meat that they slaughter, and so on and so forth, we judge them in accordance with what is apparent. And we do not bear witness for anyone that he is a full and true believer, a mu'min, because we don't know whether a person is truly a believer. We don't know. We can't judge what's in his heart. We mention someone, if he displays Islam, is upon Islam, then we mention that he is a Muslim. Likewise, Shaykh Fawzan pointed out that as for sins, the position of the people of the Sunnah is that as for sins and ma'asi, then they reduce a person's iman. A believer, when he commits sins, they will reduce his iman. Even about major sins, kaba'ir, we say, people of the Sunnah say, with regard to major sins, that they definitely reduce iman. But they do not take a person outside the fold of Islam. A person committing a major sin, as long as he doesn't hold it to be lawful, or it's just a sin that he commits, is a major sin, it reduces his iman. But it does not make him a disbeliever. Contrary to the saying of the Khawarij, it does not make him a disbeliever. So we judge people in accordance with what's apparent. If they're apparently believers, then we judge them in accordance with that, and we leave their hidden condition up to Allah. As for a person who manifests something that breaks Islam, an act of apostasy or the like, then we judge that person to be guilty of apostasy. If he does something that breaks a person's Islam, then we judge that he has left Islam. As long as any preventing factor is removed, and he has no valid excuse remaining. And Shaykh Fawzan mentioned some of the excuses that would stop us from giving that ruling upon him. For example, he was a person doing ta'wil, misinterpretation. He's misinterpreting something, that's why he's doing what he's doing. Or he's blindly following somebody else, he thinks what he's doing is correct, because he's blindly following somebody else who is upon that. Or he's jahil, totally ignorant. Or a person said something in extreme anger, came out of his mouth in extreme anger, he couldn't stop himself, he came out. Then they would be preventing factors that would prevent us from saying that he's left Islam. Well, if these factors are removed, and he commits something that breaks a person's Islam, then we say this person has left Islam. Then the point number 40, with regard to the funeral prayer, that we pray the funeral prayer, it is from the Sunnah, that we pray the funeral prayer over those people, those Muslims who are guilty of major sin, we still say the funeral prayer over them if they die. Even the fornicator who is stoned to death, funeral prayer is said over them. The person who commits suicide, the funeral prayer who is a Muslim, the person who commits suicide is a Muslim, the funeral prayer is still read over them. The person who is a drunkard, who dies, then the funeral prayer is still said over them. That this is the Sunnah. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued, we've got a curse here as point number 41. On page 200, first volume, page 273, point number 41. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ حَتَّى يَرُدَّ آيَةً مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْ يَرُدَّ شَيْئًا مِنْ آثَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوْ يُصَلِّي لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ أَوْ يَذْبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وإذا فعل شيئا من ذلك فقد وجب عليك أن تخرجه من الإسلام فإذا لم يفعل شيئا من ذلك فهو مؤمن ومسلم بالاسم لا بالحقيقة The saying of the Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, and no one from the people of the Qibla leaves Islam unless he rejects an ayah from the Book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, or rejects anything from the narrations from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or prays to other than Allah, or sacrifices for other than Allah. So if he does any of that, then it is binding upon you to expel him from Islam. And if he does not do anything from that, then he is a believer and a Muslim in name, even if not in reality. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, no one from the people of the Qibla exits from Islam except through committing one of the well-known nawaqid, one of the well-known nullifiers of Islam, along with any valid excuse being removed. He said, he's saying, أَوْ يُرُدَّ شَيْئًا مِّنْ آثَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, or through his rejecting anything from the narrations of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, if he denies the Qur'an or a part of it, or the authentic sunnah or a part of it, or he rebuts anything from the Qur'an or rebuts anything from the authentic sunnah, then he is judged to be guilty of ridda, apostasy, because he is denying the truth of what has been said by Allah and his Messenger. As long as he is not jahil, an ignorant person, or muqallid, someone just blindly following somebody else, or muta'awwim, or somebody who is misinterpreting. In which case, I mean, if he's one of these three cases here, in which case the matter is made clear to him. And when it has been made clear to him that if he still persists, then he is judged to be guilty of apostasy. And what is meant by athar, the narrations from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the ahadith. The ahadith. And he's saying, أَوْ يَرُدَّ شَيْئًا مِّنْ آثَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, or he rejects anything from the narrations of Allah's Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Sheikh said, meaning he becomes a disbeliever. If he does so, he becomes a disbeliever. And this is a tremendous principle with the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. With it, they contradict two groups. And he mentions the two groups. This is how a person, this is with this principle here, that's how it's decided that someone's become a disbeliever or not. He rejects him from the Quran, rejects him from the Sunnah, so on and so forth. Shall I say, with this principle here, they, the people of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they contradict two groups. So he mentions them. The first group is the Khawarij and the extremists, those who declare people to be disbelievers on account of kaba'ir, on account of committing major sins which are less than shirk. And the second group is the group of the Murji'ah, those who say that sin does not harm if a person has iman. As long as a person is a believer, has iman in his heart, then no sins will harm him. This is the saying of the Murji'ah. Even if he leaves off all actions and does not do any action, then he will be a believer, a mu'min, who is complete in his iman. That's the saying of the murji'ah. Doesn't do any actions. As long as he believes in his heart, he can commit any sin, doesn't need to do any action, he'll be a full and complete believer, as long as there's iman in his heart. That's the saying of the murji'ah. And the Shaykh said, as for the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, then it is just as the author said, that they are upon a middle and balanced position between the two groups. So they say that the kaba'ir, the major sins, vary. So if it is something from shirk or major kufr, if it's a matter that the person commits, which is from major shirk or major kufr, then he exits from the religion by consensus. If the major sin that the person commits, if it amounts to a major kufr or major shirk, and he does it, then he has left Islam by consensus. And as for if it is not kufr, not disbelief, and it is not shirk, and it is not denying the Book of Allah, nor the Sunnah of his of the Messenger of Allah, and it is not abandoning the prayer, and it is not calling upon other than Allah, or sacrificing for other than Allah, rather it is just a major sin, which is less than that, then this does not cause the person to exit from Islam, contrary to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. Whatever sin, no matter how major it is, as long as it's not kufr, or shirk, or abandoning the prayer, or calling upon other than Allah, or sacrificing for other than Allah, then committing that sin does not hit the person outside Islam. Contrary to the saying of the Khawarij and contrary to the saying of the Mu'tazila. The Shaykh said, however, it does harm the believer. That sin, it will harm the believer. And it will reduce his iman, contrary to the murji'ah. Those who say that sin does not harm along with iman. So this is the middle position, which harmonizes between the texts of wa'id and the texts of wa'ad, which harmonizes between the texts which mention a threat of punishment and the texts which mention a promise of reward. And this position here, position of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, it gathers both sets of texts. Those textual threats of punishment for whoever does such and such, and those textual promises of reward for whoever does such and such. Then he mentions how the other groups deviate from this. The ones at the two extremes, how they deviate from this. He said, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they took hold of the texts of the threat, and they abandoned the texts of promise, where there is a promise. Whereas the Murji'ah did the opposite. They took hold of the texts of promise, where there is a promise, and they abandoned the texts where there is a threat. So each of the two groups are barred astray. He said, he's saying, أَوْ يُصَلِّي لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ أَوْ يَذْبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, or unless he prays to other than Allah, or he sacrifices for other than Allah. Shaykh Fawaz answered, such that he prays towards a grave, seeking nearness to it, nearness to the one in the grave, or he makes prostration to an idol, or he makes a sacrifice for other than Allah, and does anything from the acts of worship for other than Allah, then this person is a mushrik, a kafir. is a person of shirk, a disbeliever, outside the religion. And whatever is lesser than that, whatever sin that he commits, which is lesser than that, then the people of the Sunnah are upon a middle position with regard to him, in between the Murji'ah and the Khawarij. He's saying, وَإِذَا فَعَلَ شَيْئًا مِّن ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ وَجِبَ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُخْرِجَهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. And if he does anything from that, then it becomes binding upon you to expel him from Islam. Sheikh Fawzan said, if he does anything from that, meaning, if he prays to other than Allah, or sacrifices for other than Allah, or does an act of worship for other than Allah, then it is binding upon you to expel him from the religion. And it is binding upon you to believe that he is a disbeliever, a kafir. And you may not say, this is not my concern, or I don't know about him. Rather, it is obligatory upon you to declare the disbeliever and the mushrik to be a disbeliever, and that you declare the sinner, the one who commits sin, to be a sinner, the one who commits a major sin which is less than shirk. So the truth about this matter must be made clear. He said, finishing the section, he said, he's saying, فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلْ شَيْئًا مِّن ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ وَمُسْلِمٌ بِالْإِسْمِ لَا بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. And if he does not do anything from that, then he is a believer and a Muslim in name, even if not in reality. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, with regard to what is apparent to us, and his hidden condition is left to Allah. As for what's in his heart, is he really a believer in his heart? That is left to Allah. Then the Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a new point, which we'll start off, and we'll just start today, inshaAllah, and then leave the remainder, because it's quite long, the explanation is long. So point number 42, وَكُلُّ مَا سَمِعْتَ مِنَ الْآثَارِ شَيْئًا مِمَّا لَمْ يَبْلُغْهُ أَقْلُكَ نَحْوَ قَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم قُلُوبُ الْعِبَادِ بَيْنَ إِصْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وقوله إن الله ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا وينزل يوم عرفة وينزل يوم القيامة وإن جهنم لا يزال يطرح فيها حتى يضع عليها قدمه جل ثناؤه وقول الله تعالى للعبد إن مشيت إلي هرولت إليك وقوله خلق الله آدم على صورته وقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأيت ربي في أحسن صورة وأشباه هذه الأحاديث فعليك بالتسليم والتصديق والتفويض والرضا ولا تفسر شيئا من هذه بهواك فإن الإيمان بهذا واجب فمن فسر شيئا من هذا بهواه ورده فهو جهمي. Saying of Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and whenever you hear something from the narrations which your intellect cannot fully comprehend, such as the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hearts of the servants are between two fingers from the fingers of the Most Merciful, the Mighty and Majestic. And his saying, Allah descends to the lowest heaven, and he descends on the day of Arafah, and he will descend on the day of resurrection, and that the hellfire will continue to have people cast into it, until he, the majestic in praise, will place his foot upon it. And the saying of Allah, the Most High, to the servant, if you come towards me walking, I will come towards you running. And his saying, Allah created Adam upon his image. And the saying of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw my Lord in the most excellent form. And the like of these ahadith. Then upon you is to submit, and to believe, and to consign the how, meaning to Allah, and to be pleased. And do not explain anything from this based upon your desires, since having iman in this is obligatory. So whoever explains anything from this based upon his desires and rejects it, then he is a Jahmi. He is one of the Jahmi. Shaykh Fawzan, Allah, he said on this section, of this section with regard to Al-Asma' wa-Sifat, the names and attributes of Allah, the Most High. It's an extremely important part of Aqidah, creed and belief, with regard to Allah's names and attributes. Shaykh Fawzan, Allah, he said, the texts of the Sifat, the texts of the attributes that are established for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, it is obligatory upon you to affirm them just as they come. Ala haqiqatiha, upon their reality, without interfering with them, with your intellect, and saying, this does not befit Allah. Allah is declared free of that. And this is resemblance, tashbih, as is said by the Mu'attila, as is said by the deniers of the attributes. The like of these sayings, when the people who deny Allah's attributes, this is the like of what they say. When they're faced with these narrations, they say the like of this. These things do not befit Allah. Allah is to be declared free of that. Or this is resemblance. This is to declare Allah to be like the creation. As is said by the Mu'attila, the deniers of the attributes. Or that you believe, also with it, what is wrong, he said, or that you believe that Allah resembles his creation, as is said by the Mumathila, as is said by those who declare the Creator to be like the creation. So each of the two groups are upon misguidance. And he mentions those two groups. The two groups upon misguidance. One extreme and the other extreme. The first being the Mu'attila, those who deny the attributes. He said they went beyond the limit in tanzih, in declaring Allah free, to such an extent that they denied the names and attributes in order to flee away from tashbih, from resemblance. They claimed. And why did they deny Allah's attributes? Their excuse that they bring is they say we want to declare Allah free from resemblance with the creation. So therefore they deny his attributes. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentions the second group on the other extreme, the Mumathila, those who liken Allah to the creation. He said, they went beyond the limit in affirming to such an extent that they likened Allah to his creation. And both of these positions are batil, false and futile. And then Shaykh Fawzan mentioned the truth in this matter, the true position, he said. And the position of the Ahl al-Sunnah is al-wasaq, the middle and justly balanced position. They affirm the names and attributes for Allah with an affirmation with affirmation, without tashbih, without likening Allah to the creation. And they negate from him any resemblance to the created beings, declaring him free of imperfections, but without denying the attributes. This is the position of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. In accordance with his saying, He the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. He quotes the two parts of the ayah from Surah Shura, 42nd Surah, Ayah 11, is a great principle in this regard. He said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. First part of the ayah, the explanation, the first part of the ayah quoted here, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. The explanation, there is nothing like him. There's nothing like Allah. He said, this is a refutation of the mumathila, a refutation of those who liken Allah to the creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. And the next part of the ayah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he, Allah, the explanation of he, Allah, is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. I said, this is a refutation of the mu'attila, those who deny the attributes. And the ayah proves that affirming the names and attributes does not necessitate tashbih, does not necessitate resemblance to the creation, nor tamthil, nor his being like the creation. And the fact that we affirm, people of Sunnah affirm for Allah attributes, whatever attributes he has affirmed for himself or his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we affirm those attributes. And that in no way necessitates that we have likened him to the creation or declared him to be resemblant to the creation. It doesn't necessitate that, it is clearly shown by the ayah. Sheikh said, this is the correct methodology with regard to the matter of al-asma wa sifat, with regard to the matter of the names and the attributes. And that's why we'll leave the section until next time, inshaAllah, because what follows, the Sheikh gives the examples that the author brought, Imam al-Bahari, where he gives the examples of the hadith about the attributes. The Sheikh Abani, or the Sheikh al-Fawzan, he brings each one and explains it. We'll leave that to the next time, inshaAllah. وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.